Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, January the 3rd, so I've been told. Third day of the new year. Did that one purely off the top of my head.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know it's a new year.
2012. Huh?
Nice.
Clean sweep.
Is that the first time you had to do that today?
No, unfortunately. But I'm batting 1,000.
Nice. That's impressive.
2 for 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I always get all crossed up and, you know, sign something with a 2011 date or whatever.
Oh, that strikes me around March. I have no logical reason why. It just is that way.
Yeah.
So what'd you bring with you?
Nothing very
pounds and pounds of paperwork.
Nothing very exciting, but the world is, it's an interesting time in taxation. We're all gearing up for the filing season, and yet, you know, from a global perspective, there's not, you know, the world is relatively quiet because of the political season. So it's an interesting time.
2 months. What does it mean? Well, we'll find out what it means to Bill when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:16. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Miles Davis.
Oh.
Sometimes you have to play for a long time to be able to play like yourself. It's musician talk, I think.
That's too deep for me.
I don't want that creativity and text preparation. What do you think?
Well,
I don't know.
There's pros and cons to creativity, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of which, the stuff that the federal representatives put together before Christmas, does a 2-month extension do anything for you?
Well, it's an interesting – 2 months is an interesting length of time. It's it'll be interesting to see if they can get back in within 2 months and resolve it further, because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to have a change in the withholding rates 2 months into a year, which is really difficult to deal with for business. And I know that that's not necessarily everybody's top priority, the impact on businesses and on their payroll processing systems, et cetera. But that the reality is that could be a real headache if it doesn't get done. And there's going to be some time pressure to do that. I'll probably have my head down so far at that point that I, you know, somebody will have to tell me it happened. But
down is better than up.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I can go along with that.
Little CPA humor there, folks.
Very little CPA humor.
Yeah. So the 2 month allowed for certain funding to happen, but it really didn't address the situation. When are you going to be concerned that they're not going to be addressing this if there's not talk by the end of this month?
Well, they have to get it. Yeah, they're going to have to be going. You know, there's a limited amount of time, and if things change, they change. It's a cliff activity. I mean, if they don't extend the 2 months worth of payroll tax break for the entire year, and then you're going to be looking at a cliff impact. All of a sudden, everybody's going to have to make changes, and it's going to be very difficult. People who are, having to make payroll on the morning of March 1st could have interesting challenges if they don't get on the stick.
Yeah, particularly
and get
if they
done.
Have to submit a couple of days early, as many do.
Well, exactly. But unfortunately, I don't think that our electeds are totally in touch with those kinds of issues. I think they're more in touch with the political issues, and I think the problem, and this year is going to be, you know, being a major political year, is going to be worse than many, from the standpoint that everything's going to have a political tinge to it.
Yeah, yeah. Depending on when the electeds are in town campaigning, one way or the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, the I suspect they'll get it passed and extend it for the balance of the year. I don't think there's a lot of choice that would happen. I don't think it's a good way of, you know, I don't think this is a good way of handling the problem and dealing with it. But unfortunately, you know, it just depends on your perspective, whether, you know, what a person might think is a better way of handling it. So,
but did they deal with it? Did they handle it? I would suggest most people would say no.
Well, but our politicians have been kicking the can down the road for a long time. You know, you look at California, we do the same thing. I mean, our elected officials are, you know, we get debt extensions for a period of time. You know, all these things happen, but then they come back up, and you've got certain people who'd rather see it not come up until after X date, and you got other people who'd like to see it come up before then. So it ends up being, you know, a football. And the reality is that the American people, and particular American business, is getting kicked around, right, you know.
KINS, News and Information Times, 421. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time is 4:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CPI. I haven't even plugged the company yet for you.
Yeah.
DeMello, McCauley, McReynolds, and Holland.
Very nice.
Yeah, I probably should say DeMello, Holland, McReynolds, McCauley.
Did you like it better that way?
No, but it's not anything close to like alphabetical order or anything else, and then I can't be held accountable for it.
Well, there you go. we have a pretty good investment in the existing structure.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, business
so you
cards,
did hear my accountable
I did.
Reference.
I did hear your accountable
and didn't
reference.
Flinch too terribly.
Yeah.
What about the AMT, Bill? Another thing that you said, gotta, and they didn't.
So we're back in the... listeners will probably recall we've talked about the AMT before, the alternative minimum tax. There is a structure that's been associated with it for a long time, and it includes an exemption amount so that when a person is calculating their taxes, they calculate the alternative minimum tax. And if you have a large enough exemption amount, a big enough percentage of the American population isn't subject to the alternative minimum tax as to keep it politically palatable. And the alternative minimum tax kind of goes on, but what's happened is for 2012 we don't have an exemption established, so it makes it very difficult for planning when you're looking and trying to structure transactions and you don't know If there'll be an exemption or not from the alternative minimum tax.
So now this is 12 due and payable in early 13.
Well, it could be payable in 12, depending on facts and circumstances.
But if you go quarterly, then it's this year.
Yeah. So the point is, for people who are trying to make a decision, or if somebody's receiving some kind of large distribution, whether it be from a retirement plan or a bonus or whatever, a person may want to be able to factor in what they'd actually expect to pay in tax given their particular tax situation. At this point, we don't know what the exemption amount is. Presumably, there'll be some action that's taken. If there isn't, there'll be millions of other Americans who get to experience the alternative minimum tax who normally don't. And that probably would not be
a motivational moment.
The outcome that a number of our elected officials would like to see happen. So. Because as we become motivated, we begin to look at other methodologies and
vocalize, maybe read our voters' pamphlet a little closer, things like that.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said for that.
So if it's this blatant, why don't these folks see this as an issue? And they spend all this time, effort, and energy about the stimulus this and stimulus that. And for a lot of business folks, it doesn't really come into play too terribly much. Certainly not as universally as an AMT would, depending on how you're structured with your company. I would think that if they're looking for stimulus moves, this and a bunch of other things would just come so naturally.
Well, there's a lot of power in writing tax law. And as long as that power is largely reserved to Congress, power in Congress translates to political donations. And donations are part of the cycle of getting into and staying in office. So there's an awful lot of power in the tax code, and that the preponderance of that power resides with Congress.
But these are the folks that are up for election every 2 years, and they're going to be on the trail probably in a couple of weeks to a couple of months, depending on where they are throughout the country.
But how many surveys have we seen where even let's go back to the last election cycle, where we had in 2010, there was a throw the bums mentality out, but you still go back and survey and go, it's somebody else's bum I want to get rid of. I like my guy or gal. I like them. I want to keep them. And I don't think we've really – I'm not sure we're really ever totally back that. Back to that point where people will say, hey, I'm willing to throw my representative out because I'm not happy with what's going on. But who knows what the tide will be at the time when the elections occur. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that, as somebody who works with the tax code, there's a lot of things I look at and I think, well, gee, those things could be changed and it wouldn't be that difficult, and it would make the code simpler and less costly to try to comply with, et cetera. But that doesn't really ever seem to be part of the thinking. It tends to be other influences that seem to be pushing the agenda with regard to tax law.
Yeah, but there just doesn't seem to, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the influence of special interests, left, right, up, down, that are doing this, rather than stepping back and saying, what's going to make it simpler?
Yeah,
maybe you lose a little here and you gain a little there, but to simplify the process so that it isn't quite so cumbersome or quite so confusing.
Or that incentivizes. I mean, we use the tax code to do a lot of social engineering, and it's the easiest tool for that. In other words, if I want to get dollars to something that I hold near and dear to my heart, the best way to do that, if I'm an elected official, is through the tax law. And if I'm
well, housing industry is a prime example.
Yeah. There you go. You look at the home mortgage deduction. And that's purely driven by that type of a mindset.
KINS, News and Information Times, 4:31. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Now, Minute of Sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with CPA Bill McCauley. You did bring in some paperwork, however, that probably had nothing whatsoever to do with the two-month extension or the AMT lack thereof.
Yeah, it probably did. You're right. But there are some things that are out there that are that people will begin to either have to deal with this year or they're going to have to deal with in the coming years. Sometimes you see something and you hear about it, and it doesn't quite make the surface, but you know, you kind of have a sense, hey, this is coming and it's gonna be there. And there's a couple of items along those lines, and then there's one thing that a person, you know, that we all need to be aware of is California's getting a lot more serious about trying to collect sales tax revenues for out-of-state purchases, so online and out-of-state purchasing. And so what?
How do they track that?
They don't.
Oh.
But they got some statistical analysis, I think, that helps them kind of infer what's going on. So what the Franchise Tax Board has done this year to help all of us pay our sales, our what we would then call a use tax obligation, because it probably wouldn't be a sales tax, it would be, but it's equivalent. There's now a table that you can go consult, and if you're taxable purchases out of the state, as an example, if you are a devotee of Amazon.com and you're buying things and your purchases are in excess of $1,000, then you can't use this table. But if it's $1,000 or lower, you can go to the table and it'll calculate based upon your net income. Based upon your income, you can then go to the table and say, okay, I would, you know, therefore owe $55 or whatever of use tax, and you can pay it with your return. So you don't have any tracking responsibility. Now, if your purchases are over $1,000, then you wouldn't be eligible to use that table. So the point being, this continues to be an issue. There's also the ongoing tilt, I would guess we would say, between Amazon and the state of California, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see where we go. I mean, the state of California is not going to let it go, and they are, you know, they are the elephant in the room in a lot of respects for some of this stuff. So they're going to keep pushing, trying to get some type of ability to collect on you know taxes online, and they're going to try to compel Amazon, as an example, to collect the tax for them.
I wouldn't think that Amazon would be the one to fight over.
Well,
unless you guys are doing something different than what we're doing, I would think most businesses are going to be something that we look at. And border towns are going to be something that are looked at. And the heavy investments, not the $20 latest greatest paperback or the $15.
Well, the advantage is if you can get somebody who's had $800 of purchases and you can get several million of them, then their $40 or $50 starts to add up. I agree with you that there are probably bigger purchases that are going across the border that the state has a limited or no ability to effectively police and or determine, okay, there should be an obligation here for the use tax for something that was purchased out of state. My point is that there is the ability here this year for an enhanced ability for a person to pay their use tax or sales and use tax obligation for out-of-state purchases, and I think we're going to continue to see the state work in this area. So I think people need to get their head around, in one way or another, the state of California is going to try to find a way to get their pound of flesh.
The voluntary compliance thing.
Yeah, they're going to try to do it that way, but they're also going to use every means at their disposal to try to affect a change in how this is occurring in to be able to collect a greater percentage of those use taxes.
Well, I wonder if the ACLU and folks like that will get into the information thing, well, because they could, in theory, if they could somehow trump the Interstate Commerce Commission, go after FedEx, DHL, I guess the Postal Service to a certain extent, any of the couriers to bring this stuff to home and say, I want to see your bill of lading, I guess, for anybody in the state
That's
of California.
Politically infeasible at this point.
Certainly.
So there is a valid point there. Is, you know, and not only that, you can buy things on Amazon, but you buy it from a California vendor, you pay the sales tax.
Yeah, you get popped, so there would have to be a sifting.
So there, it does become very difficult to say, you got something mail order, you didn't pay use tax. Well, maybe I did pay sales or use tax on that. There's a series of variables here that I think we're going to see increasing amounts of pressure, you know, put in place on business as well as, I think, on to individuals to try to get more of those, to realize more of that, those dollars. And if you think about it from the standpoint of the state, you can understand why they would want to do that. If you think about it from a perspective of equity, you know, when you talked about the cross-border deals, you know, if somebody can be living in weed and drive across the border and pick something up that they could have gotten locally, there's several effects that are going on. California is losing the sales tax revenue, and the local businesses are losing that trade volume, and that does occur. I think we all know that occurs with some regularity in our area.
Well, I would think it's challenging because the simple thing would be to have a federal sales tax. Takes care of that. But because everybody's structured so differently, that becomes probably as untenable as going after the bills of lading. But you'd think that there would be some way that they could figure this thing out rather easily.
Well, there's lots of ideas out there. It's getting consensus and building, you know, a mechanism that it can be done effectively. And it's going to...
Is it anti-business?
Can you repeat the question?
Is it anti-business?
Anti-business. It depends on the enforcement methods that are used.
Okay,
there's two sides to it, Brian.
Okay.
It's anti-business to say, okay, the businesses have to work and deal with all these compliance issues. It's also anti-business in California when somebody else gets an 8% discount to play with when negotiating on...
By stepping across the line.
So I guess it depends on your perspective of anti-business, and it is in both ways. And so where do you, you know, how do you fix these things? People are looking for, hey, how, you know, what's the most cost-effective way I can get this or that? That's fine, but, you know, we're going to have to figure out if that, you know, from a public policy standpoint, you know, where, you know, how far is far enough and how far is too far?
Is there any movement, Aaron? I don't know if you've been following this. Is there any movement with that lawsuit pending lawsuit between California and Amazon?
Yeah, they've settled, and there's going to be, ultimately there'll be some, you know, for now California said, okay, we'll let it go, but there's a window where Amazon's going to have to develop a system that, you know, and I don't know exactly all the details about how it's all going to play out.
Amazon's only one of the virtual players.
They're considered to be, you know, the
They're the elephant?
The biggest player, yeah. I don't know whether that's true.
So then the others, in theory, fall in line.
Potentially.
Okay, we'll go to break on that humorous note. Mm-hmm. KINS, News and Information Times 443. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. Mike's on with Bill McCauley. It's always those... It's kind of like, you know, if we had a DVD of the show, the after show. But we would just entitle it The Break Discussions.
Yeah, the break discussions are interesting. Well...
No simple solution with the tax... Internet tax stuff.
Yeah.
The thing I think that gets me most excited about it is the argument, this is a new situation, this is a new compliance, this is a new industry, this is a new distribution channel, oh my, oh my, oh my, we have to protect it so we can't tax it. That seems a little weak.
Well, you know, Brian, there are multiple sides to this deal, and people are gonna arm wrestle over this one for the foreseeable future. It's just one of these things that we sat here and discussed it on the break about, you know, here's the reasons for having a comprehensive tax and why that would be fair, and then there's other very, very justifiable reasons why that's not a good idea, or very, very difficult or impossible to deal with. You know, Aaron pointed out at the break how difficult it is for some little vendor who's on Amazon. Just because they're on Amazon, are they now going to have to comply because they sold something into Kentucky? They're going to have to figure out what's the sales tax rate that I should be charging for Kentucky. That's a pretty big burden for somebody who's selling earrings on Amazon.
Yeah, three pair at a time.
Right.
Yeah, the boutique-y. But yeah. I suppose the state's argument then is it all adds up.
That's exactly what. And California figures that, you know, that, you know, 100% of something is better than, you know, 0% of nothing.
But then that gets back into that, is it good for business question with the cost of regulatory compliance or the risk of not. You know, making the decision, you know what? No, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Come and find us.
Yeah.
And roll the dice that way.
And you got people on all sides of that. Believe me, you know, working in with people that I do, I've got clients who are, clients who are on all different ends. The spectrum is broad about where people's comfort is in terms of tax compliance and where they fit in. And it's important for me to know, you know, when I work with a client, you know, how do they view, you know, the risks associated with tax compliance, and that makes it a lot easier for me to serve somebody like that.
Well, hopefully serving won't entail jail time also.
No, we don't do that.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
It's a pleasure.
We've been talking shop with Bill McCauley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then.